Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
South Carolina, we're hanging out in Boiling Springs. Man, I tell you, I got so many different shows going on here. I guess I better do that right there until we get our main man on. Now, we're doing Meadow Creek today on live stream. We've got our Meadow Creek BBQ 42 out here. I believe that's what it is. Correct me if I'm wrong there. Mr. Plank, is that right or wrong?
That is correct. It is a BBQ 42.
Okay, and we've got 40 pounds of chicken breast on here right now, and we've got our cooker. It was up to about 275, but now we've lifted the top up two or three times, so right now we're buzzing along about 200, but I'm sure the temperature will go up very quickly. And so we just got to ask you, Mr. Plank, ask us just, I mean, tell us just a little bit about the BBQ 42 and some of the features of it.
Well, that BBQ 42 was actually, I think, designed mainly for cooking chicken. there's a lot of other things that you can cook on it. More than likely, if you were cooking chicken, you would be cooking with the lid open on it. That fire will actually get hotter with the lid open. It creates more draft. And,
oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Well, now's a good time to learn.
I'm such an offset guy, you know. If you look and you ain't cooking, but you're saying you can't look and you can't cook.
You can on that particular unit. Of course, with that extra 10-inch lid and thermostat or thermometer on there, there's a lot of other items that you can cook with the lid closed. But if you're doing chicken and real barbecue open pit chicken, you would normally be doing that with the lid open.
Okay. Now, we've got the 40 pounds of chicken breasts in here now. They're huge. Man, I tell you, 1 pound breast piece, there's probably 40 breasts exactly on there, each one of them a pound a piece. And we did a whole bunch of seasoning. We put the Pirate Johnny's on there. We're trying to introduce Pirate Johnny's to the world. Pretty good seasoning. Then we put some Lowry's seasoning salt, which, you know, for chicken, Lowry's does a real good job. Of course, we could have put some Plowboys or some other stuff on there, but we did use smoking coals and buzzard butt dust. And now we put about 20 pounds of charcoal in it, Mr. Plank, and we added just a little bit more because we kept watching the thermometer. But now that we got the lid off, that 20 pounds is going to start really rock and rolling.
I think you're going to find that 20 pounds is sufficient when it's spread out. It looks a little sparse in the bottom, but I know with my experience, it'll cook one batch of chicken, and a lot of times you can get most of the second batch done, maybe only adding a little bit as you get into that second batch.
Okay. Now, there's a plate down in the bottom that charcoal's actually sitting in, and that plate there is to protect the bottom, I guess, partially. But also, it's movable. You can leave it on the bottom, or you can bring it up higher to do direct grilling.
You can move it up, but once you move it up, now you're going to use that cooker like you would a typical barbecue grill, not using that spin rack, because that's not going to give you room to sandwich your meat in between that spin rack and spin it. But if you were doing steaks or hamburgers, something like that, that you want to heat up close, just bring that pan on up, and you can go ahead and open up that spin rack and just use it like a normal barbecue grill.
Now, one thing I noticed about this grill, when we got it out here, we got to working on it and everything, it's very movable, very, you know, I didn't have any problem unloading it, loading it under the truck, and then moving it around in this courtyard that I have here that you can see. Tell us a little about, you know, how they worked this grill and balanced it. I mean, I believe a baby could get that heat almost and pick the panel up and move this grill around.
Well, I tell you, most of the Meadow Creek equipment, which is, I'm going to call it the backyard equipment, similar to what you have there, is all pretty well balanced up and can pretty well be moved around by one person. That particular BBQ 42 has always been the most popular unit with the homeowner. And I just believe that there's not much that you can't do with it, except it is not an offset firebox smoker.
Yeah, now, our plan today, of course, is we're going to get this chicken done. We're going to bring these breasts up. Now, you told me 160 degrees, and I've got my Maverick pen. So we're going to get on here in just a few minutes. I don't think they're done quite yet, but we're going to temp them here in just a little bit. And but, you know, our plan is we're going to do some ribs, and hopefully 2.5, 3 hours, 2 hours, something like that, we're going to be able to get the ribs done. But we're going to try to cook some Boston butts on this thing, and the lid's high enough. I believe we can load the whole thing up with Boston butts. Now, we won't plan on turning those over. We're going to load this thing up and leave them, you know, one side up and try to add charcoal as we can. It's really not a Boston butt cooker, is it?
Well, it can be. Now, we have a optional flat rack that you would pull that spin rack off of there and replace it with the optional flat rack. Now, with you only having that spin rack, you're either going to want to tie that handle of the spin rack down so it's not going to flip and throw your butts into the coal, or you're going to load them all on the front edge. But I would definitely tie it down. I think that would be the better way to go.
Okay, now, you know, I'm sure everybody out there listening wants to know, how much does a unit like this run?
That unit without the additional 5 inches on the lid and the thermometer is $875. The extra 5 inches, which gives you a 10-inch lid and a thermometer, is an optional $110. It does give you a lot more versatile cooker that way, but if you're buying it primarily for cooking chicken, well, just a stock unit with a 5-inch lid works fine.
Now, I'm going to walk up in the camera right quick, and I want you guys to look at how easy it is. Now, I got a whole case. I just went down to the butcher this morning, and I said, look, just go ahead and give me a whole 40-pound case. Chicken usually comes with 40-pound cases, and I'm going to turn it over. I got my left hand on it, and I just flipped it right over that quick. And I tell you, that's the thing about this cooker is you get it up to temp, and you put this 40-pound on there, and you sit an hour and 15 minutes, it's pretty much done, and it really makes it easy to flip it, maneuver it, and take care of that chicken till you pull it off.
Actually, Daryl, I believe with those chicken breasts, you're going to wind up cooking that a little sooner than an hour and 15 minutes. Normally, an hour and 15 minutes is what we allow doing leg and thigh quarters and your dark meat.
Okay. Well, let me get my Maverick cut out and I'm going to check them one time. Danny, how long do you think we've had them on?
Probably 45 minutes.
45 minutes. Now, I'm using an off-brand charcoal today. I'm out of Forest Lumps. And right now the temperature is 127.5 degrees on that one. And let me do another one right here in the center. 147 in the center. And on the other end, 155. That was getting close. 45 minutes, folks, and these big old chicken breasts are, you know what else? They look like they're pretty juicy. It preserves the juice in them, doesn't it?
Well, that's the big thing. By not cooking those things over 160 degrees, I think you're going to find that that chicken breast is not going to dry out. I think you'll find it nice and juicy.
Now, I know you got another unit that is as many of these as you want to line up. You know, you can get this unit lining up in 6, 8, maybe even 10. So, you know, if you're a big catering company and you want to do 400 or 500 pounds of chicken at a time, you can ease units up and make one big trailer out of them. You can, fast as you can load chicken, hour a piece, you can put it out there.
Well, Meadow Creek builds a 10-pit cooker, which is supposedly 600 pounds of chicken at one time. And they can build you anything from a 3-pit trailer unit on up to a 10-pit trailer unit.
Wow, man. Well, we got to talk about the Mac Daddy now. I know you got that huge vending trailer, you know, a little over $40,000 or whatever, and man, I tell you, there's a lot of people out there who want to make a living at barbecue now that are moving out. They're trying to do mobile kitchens. I tell you, that big trailer you got is just magic. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Daryl, I think the big thing about that particular concession trailer is that it looks like a barbecue concession trailer. When we originally got into this, my idea was not to build a concession trailer that was a car hauling trailer and convert it into a barbecue trailer. I think the old first impression thing goes a long ways, and that particular trailer, I think, makes a pretty nice statement when you pull in on the job, and it's definitely a moneymaker.
Well, tell us a little about how it's equipped. I know you've got some big units on it, and some major catering meat can come out of there quickly. Now, tell us a little bit about how it's equipped as far as cookers go.
All right. Well, that particular trailer is 22 feet long, not counting the tongue. It's divided up into two compartments, and in the front compartment is air-conditioned, has the four or three bowl with a hand-wash sink, hot and cold running water, has a refrigeration unit, has a work counter, serving window. In the back, and of course, is also equipped with screens and windows. In the back is screened in, does not have the windows. That has the TS-250 smoker, which has always been our most popular money-making smoker, along with that same chicken cooker that you're demonstrating there today, and has a pot burner Camp Chef stove. But we can come up with most any kind of configuration. The nice thing about this unit is that it just takes moments to open up the unit and close the unit up. We've tried to go with a lot of stainless steel and aluminum. The cleanup is easy with a pressure washer, and I just believe that it's something that a lot of people have been looking for.
Man, I tell you now, restaurant ready. I mean, the health department comes through this trailer, they're going to skip the jump right through there as long as you keep it clean. And I got a picture of it right now on the television screen if you're watching. And, folks, I stood in this trailer down there at the National Barbecue Association, and I walked through. And I tell you what, now, that is serious barbecue heaven. And, you know, what they mean is, was down there in Florida is, you know, in order to get in the barbecue business, there are people out there that, you know, $25,000 just for a little hook behind, pull behind, offset. You know, then you got trailers that even used are $40,000, but don't have the convenience. It's a lot of work. You got to go out, move a bunch of stuff off the trailer, set up, put out, all this other stuff. And the thing I like about the Meadow Creek trailer that he's talking about, you go out, you flip up the top, you've got your window right there at the side of the trailer. You just open it up. You've got all your work area, all your wash area, all your cooking area, and all separate, lined up in a very thoughtful manner. So your work process will be a lot easier. You get a few people, and you run the whole thing. You don't have to have 15 people out front that are tired because they unloaded a pound of equipment, and now they have to go back. They've got to run that equipment. So really ease, and then the amount of money. And you've got a pull behind that I really love. I believe it's a 60-inch with a chicken cooker just like we have here placed on the front of it, and it's around $7,000. And, boy, that's a nice unit. Tell us about that unit.
Now, which unit are we speaking about there?
The one that looks like it, you know, it was a big monstrous cooker, and we were in Venice, and you just grabbed the front of it and pushed it right where it had to go.
Oh, you're talking about the TS-250 smoker with the BBQ-42 mounted to the front of it.
Yeah.
That's a real popular unit with the guys that are out here making money with barbecue. I've had a lot of restaurant people buy that unit, and I just think that for the money, and that same old first impression thing goes a long ways. That's just a real nice reverse flow smoker and has a lot of capacity. And it's just one of our most popular units. I try to keep two of those in stock at all time.
That way, if you sell one, you got another one. If you sell it right quick, till you restock.
That is correct. If you only have one and you sell it, then you're out.
Man, that's another thing now. We had an incident down in this where I don't know what happened. You know, could have been my fault. Could have been something else happened. But the grate and the pan that goes in this cooker you see right now on television, it got lost or it came up missing. And, boy, I just want to give Meadow Creek an attaboy. Meadow Creek gives great service. I wanted to do this weekend, do a big shoot on this Meadow Creek that I've got out here, and looked around, lo and behold, on Thursday, there's the big brand-new rack just sitting right there in the driveway. Boy, now, if something goes wrong and somebody needs a piece or a part or something, you guys get on top of it and provide that service they need.
Well, Daryl, our customers are our best salespeople. What can I say?
Yeah, word of mouth. I mean, that's the whole, that's how a company gets bigger. Well, Mr. Plank, you have Give Barbecue Superstars. This is the second cooker now. And we would not have been able to shoot. Now, folks, if you go to Front of Barbecue Superstars, which a couple thousand people have done now because the views on all these videos are just exploding up, up, and up. I did a Cosmo versus Butcher video. I have compared a lot of different seasonings and rubs and sauces in direct. And see, the reason I've done that, folks, is nobody's willing to really put it out there side by side. Here's my product. Here's their product. This is what it looks like. But we were able to do that because of one reason. Mr. Plank here, let me use that offset cooker, which I want to apologize. I got it rusty because I used it so much and I left it out there on the patio. So it's going to have to sandblast and paint again because I'm going to tell you something. I put a lot of wood through there. I did a lot of video. But
it will be taken care of, Daryl.
But now we've got this second cooker. And, folks, all this barbecue information that we're putting out would not be possible without this man right here. And it's so funny. We have some history in our family of being Amish. And then, you know, it's an Amish-based company that's come along and helped me do all this live cooking and different videos that I've done. All this will be recorded now. You'll be able to see me placing the chicken onto this thing, cranking it up, and the whole process of what I did. But the biggest thing we want you to know is how to get a hold of Mr. Plank. Now, give us all your phone numbers and your email. And listen, even if you don't buy a cooker and you're having a problem with your cooker, get a hold of Mr. Plank and Plank Enterprises. Barbecue Superstars endorses him 1,000,000%. He's very knowledgeable on mechanics. He was a mechanic and worked on vehicles his whole life. He knows a lot about a lot of different stuff. And, you know, I'm really surprised at how intelligent he is. He's a very intelligent fella. So give him your phone numbers and all your contact. Okay, his phone number is 941. Get your pen out right here. 941-343-0936. Now, that's his main business number. If you want to make an order, make sure you call that number first. Now, his cell phone number is 941-320-1090. And that's his two phone numbers. Now, he's got a website called www.meadowcreekbbqequipment.com. And you can go to that website, and I'm sure there'll be some more contact information there. Now, if you don't want to buy into buying a whole Meadow Creek unit, I think you ought to consider it. I mean, I'm getting used to cooking all now, and I really like a nice unit. They've got a lot of accessories. Now, we've got easiest way you prefer people get a hold of.
Daryl, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know how we got cut off there, but we did. Of course, my phone number is 941-343-0936, and my cell number is 941-320-1090, and I'll be glad to talk to you about most anything.
Now, I tell you, not many people are willing to just give their phone number out. They'll give you a business phone. It's only good from, you know, 8 to 5 every day, and then no email or no anything like that. But he's giving you his direct line directly to him. So that says integrity. That says quality. He knows he's got a good product. He's not going to have to run around in circles to back this thing up. So, folks, Meadow Creek. And, you know something, I just want to say I'm really glad I met you and that I've been able to cook on your cookers. And, you know, those little slide doors on the side and those air vents where you spin the thing around, open and close the vents, stuff like that, I'm really getting used to. And I tell you, I just love it. I just love cooking all this stuff. And tell us your story just a little bit about how you got involved with Meadow Creek.
Well, my experience with Meadow Creek goes back a long ways. The father who actually started the business was a farmer, and I was a farmer. I used to live in Maryland, and he and I met because he was instrumental in inventing a piece of haying equipment I was interested in. He probably built his first pig roaster back in the 80s, and he has passed on since then, but his boy had taken the business over probably 14, 15 years ago. And Meadow Creek, of course, being an Amish family, they just take a lot of pride in their workmanship. And I just feel that we can put the Meadow Creek equipment up against most anything on the market today and be proud to do it. They have a lot of innovative ideas, and I just think it's a great product.
Most of the factory, the actual build stuff, goes on in Pennsylvania, but you're down in Tampa. But there are dealers all over the United States, so reducing the shipping costs is easy for you guys. I mean, you sell one in Tampa that's got to go to Nebraska, you can get the closest dealer there to actually ship it to them to save on shipping costs. And there's a lot of ways that Meadow Creek has to cut the cost. So, you know, you look at this cooker right here. I believe the weight, it says in the book, is 200 pounds, 226 pounds. It's got a little size to it. But you guys got a way of cutting shipping costs where you're going to make a trip up to Pennsylvania, you'll just ride by and drop it off and those kind of things.
Well, actually, what I try to do, Daryl, is I haul this equipment myself from New Holland, Pennsylvania, to actually Sarasota, Florida, and I try to coordinate with buyers if it's something I don't have in stock to drop it off to them on the way back. But all the equipment that I keep here in Sarasota is basically all sold freight free. There's no freight charges added to any of this equipment that I bring back from New Holland. And if there's somebody that's in a different locale, if they're interested in having a piece shipped to them, I will work with them on that shipping cost since I did not have to bring it back to Sarasota. So I believe that I can probably do them somewhat of a favor on the shipping.
That's big words now. You know, I know some other cooker companies, and I'm not downing them because it's just the process of their business. But, you know, you buy the cooker, it costs $3,500. Well, it's going to cost you $800 to get it from their place to yours. They're going to pack it up in a crate. So it's going to take an extensive amount of time to get it unpacked and get it where you can use it. So that's another thing that I've found personally, and I can attest to this, that, you know, we have switched cookers twice now, and I've never had to pay any shipping. Somehow or another, we always end up in the same place, and we're just able to go from one pickup to the other. And that's the way Meadow Creek works, because it's a lot of common sense stuff that, you know, we're just some good old boys out here. We're working hard. We're trying to make a living in barbecue. And so you know how that is, Mr. Plank. And you, you know, you're able to work around just using common sense. And your whole company, that's the way it works, is a common sense company.
Well, first of all, Daryl, I appreciate that, Mr. Plank. Jim goes a long ways with me. But I just feel like this shipping thing is something that's just adds a lot of cost to the equipment, and if there's any way that we can help trim that cost, we're going to try and do it for you.
Well, that sounds good. Well, Jim, we appreciate you calling in, and now all these accessories that's in the book, I mean, it seems like some of these would be able to work, you know, maybe they don't even have, they got a Lang or they got a Jambo or something like that, but they can accessorize their cooker with some of these Meadow Creek products. without actually owning the Meadow Creek?
Well, I'm sure some of the items would be interchangeable. Again, anybody that would like to call me and talk to me about any of this equipment, I'd be glad to do so, or send them a catalog if they would give me their name and address. We'd be glad to send a catalog on its way.
Well, we're going to get out here in just a minute, and the center part, now I didn't distribute my charcoal as good as I should have maybe, because the center part's reading about 163, and the outside parts are, you can see exactly how I distributed the charcoal by the way the chicken looks, so I'm going to have to flip this thing and get a rake and get this charcoal distributed right throughout here, but we're just about ready to pull our chicken off. So if you're watching on the television, get ready. Man, that's some beautiful chicken. It really turned out good, Jim. And I tell you, we're really excited about Meadow Creek. And let me just give you a few minutes to talk to the people that might be listening and tell them just a little more about you and Meadow Creek.
Well, I'm kind of a low-budget operator. I don't have a big storefront, and I try to pass the savings on to the customer. It's a fun job for me, and I just really believe in the product that I sell. I know that the people that build the Meadow Creek equipment, like I say, I've known them for almost 30 years, and they're just honorable people, and that's about all I have to say. It's a nice product.
941-343. What's the last four numbers?
0936.
0936. Then 941. What's the next one of your free cell phone?
3201090.
Man, change your life. Go ahead.
And I know we lost connection there while we were talking. My website is Meadow Creek BBQ Equipment. .com. Anybody that would like to go on there to take a look at basically the catalog is what you'll be looking at.
And I tell you what, man, it's some good stuff. And shoot, all I can say is Meadow Creek. If you don't get some, you're making a mistake. Shoot, if you want to make some money and cook some good food, get you some Meadow Creek. And it doesn't matter what you want to cook, they're going to have a way of cutting the time, cutting the cost. And that's some stuff that will last you a lifetime. Have you ever heard of anybody that bought a new Meadow Creek in the last 5 years that came back 5 years later and said it didn't last, it didn't stand up, or anything like that?
No, I can't say that. In fact, I know one of the first shows that I did when I first got into selling Meadow Creek, an older fella came to me and he had one of the PR trailer pig roasters and told me that it was going on 20 years, and he said that the bottom was just starting to get bad in it, and that was before that they came out with the replaceable charcoal pan, which would almost eliminate that problem. So I believe the durability of this Meadow Creek equipment is pretty good.
Man, go out there and buy it once, and then for a lifetime you're set up for life. And well, we appreciate you calling in. Now, 347-202-0263. Call in, talk to Jim, and let's talk Meadow Creek just a little bit. I know there's a lot of people out there listening. Don't be scared to pick up that phone. Call in and take this, ask some questions. I mean, if you've got a cooker that you've had problems with, or you need an application that you're really not efficient with, efficiency is the byword. Now, I've got 40 pounds of chicken on here. We're coming up on about 50 minutes. The center is completely done. I got to get me some big old pans because we're going to take these to Oak Ridge and feed everybody tonight at 4 o'clock. And that's one reason why I wasn't scared to do it, because I knew that this thing would cook it in an hour or less. And so we got started around 12. We'll have plenty of time to pan it up, get it over there. There's 48 people in Oak Ridge, and they'll be able to chow down on a bunch of chicken and 3 racks of ribs here in probably an hour or so. And
Daryl, I would like to add one thing if I could.
Sure, go ahead.
We were talking about this concession trailer, and I'd just like to say that I know that a lot of people have their own ideas on what they would like to have in the way of a concession trailer, and the unit that we have already built here, of course, was what we thought would be a desirable unit, but we'll be glad to price out any configuration to anybody on a unit that they want, either larger, smaller, deep fryers, hood systems. Anyway, feel free to give us a call.
That's another thing. Fabrication's not a problem. Them fellas in the shop, they'll jerk their torches and welders out. They'll build you anything you can.
And we'd like to give them a good challenge now and then.
Well, let me get some pans. I'm going to hold you on the radio show if you'll stay just a minute. And we're
sure.
Going to get pans to start pulling all this chicken up. Hold on just a minute.
Big
metal
fan just in the truck. She rode off with it.
Okay. Well, I got to get one of the. The only thing bad about that is the bottom of them's not real heavy, so we're going to.
Man, that was fast. It just seemed like I just put it on.
Yeah.
Jim, I got to give you credit. I lifted the lid. It got hot. It got hot fast.
With the lid open, you get more, create more draft through there, and you can get a pretty hot fire.
Man, that chicken is just roasting quick. Let's see what I do with my black glove. Here we go.
Okay, now this feature right here, I want you guys to watch. You hang these up on these hooks right here. Something else, that chicken is really bound in between. It's not going to move. It's not going anywhere. It's not like it's going to, slide around inside the rack or all that stuff. It's where it's going to be. See, Jim, now I did something wrong. I bought 3 bottles of pan, and I got so excited about cooking the chicken, I didn't spray it.
Well, that is a mistake, but I'm sure you can correct it the next time. It does, the PAM or some type of cooking oil sprayed on both sides of that rack will certainly make the chicken come off easier and the cleanup much easier on the rack.
There we go. Ooh, look at them pretty grill marks. Good God. I don't know if all this chicken will make it to Oak Ridge or not. Some of them might wind up in my kitchen in there. Hey. Ooh, I want you to look at that. Man, that's a nice looking chicken. Nice and caramelized. You know, that almost seems like Kentucky Fried Chicken quality. The way the meat's done. I mean, it's really good. Good quality done meat.
Well, Daryl, the one thing that I do know about that particular way of cooking.
I was thinking I might put some. Chicken broth in there and put it in the oven. Just to finish it up and make sure. Shoot, I don't have to do that. That chicken's done, boy.
I think if you take and pack that chicken in a cooler until it's time to serve it, I think it'll be just fine.
I got what do they call this thing? Cambro. I got a Cambro right here. Let's put it in the Cambro. I guess you could put a couple more pieces in there. Cambro for a little bit, all them juices would go right back into the chicken. Here you go, I'll put the little simple one. I'll tell you what, hold it up to the camera just for a minute. Shoot, folks, 50 minutes ago, that was some big raw pieces of chicken. That's some big breasts. And, man, that's beautiful. That really did a great job on that. Okay. All right, let me get here got up to about 170, so I'm going to pull these center ones off. Then I'm going to get these ones on the end. And I haven't got a good distribution of charcoal on. I'll pull them in the center and I'll put them for just a few more minutes to get them up about another 30 degrees. And look at this. Might have to eat that piece right there. Your pan would help. I was thinking about Pam. I'm ready to get the chicken started, wasn't you?
Just one more. Okay, I'm going to pull these over now.
I'm going to put the ball on there. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm going to say, right over the center of this thing, where I've got a pretty good amount of charcoal, that heat is blistering up through there. That thing is really hot.
This thing really magnifies the heat well. Well, I want you to look at that chicken breast, how big these things are. You know, for something that big to cook in 50 minutes, that's just unbelievable.
For something that big to cook in 50 minutes.
We got these breasts from Save-A-Lot. They came from Columbia Farms. I wasn't really expecting them to be that big. When we opened the case up, it was like, good God.
Good job. I'm going to give you just a minute more. Folks, this is just for the professionals. Don't try this at home. Hot now.
Okay, folks, now what I got going.
I got these three pots and I've got. Seafood grit. Shrimp grit.
Seafood grit.
Yeah. Mashed potatoes I'm making. But notice I'm sitting them on the front now. And I've got a huge pot of vegetables right here. And I'm going to try to use some of that heat to get them pots hot while we're waiting just a few more minutes to get this chicken done.
Get them pots hot while
we wait just a few more minutes to get this chicken done. Them charcoal are so hot that I might go ahead and shut the top just for a few minutes to radiate the pot a little better. Now, I'm playing a tricky game because if I get that too far, this thing's going to flip over and fall. I'm watching where this thing is to see it's braced. If it was in the back, I'd put them in the back. If it's in the front, I'd put it in the front. Because that's the brace that's holding it up. So we're going to do a little dual cooking because once we get the ribs done and this chicken done, we're going to make a heck of a meal for us to eat. We've got shrimp grits, mashed potatoes, garlic potatoes with butter and cheese in it. And then we're going to have pork chops. And then I got this mixture of vegetables that was in that one pot with a lid on it. And so we're going to let that cook for just a few minutes. And I'll tell you, that Jim Plank's a great guy. And we knew some Planks when I was in Delaware. The Planks that we knew were always really good people, good, honest, decent. And, you know, he's one of them old school Americans that does what he says and says what he does. And we really appreciate Jim. Now, we're going to cook a cake on this, and I've got a few tricks that I'm going to do that. We're going to put that right in the middle here in a few minutes when we get going. And we're going to cook some gravy. We're going to cook some sausages. And I tell you, I think we're close enough now. You interested in eating a sausage? Man, we got us some sausages really flavored up, mixed up good. We're going to slide them on the back of this grill right quick. If you would, lift that up. We got plenty of meat, man. We need to cook us up a few sausages and get us some hot dog buns. Actually, I got a little sub bun. That's more like sub size. And might get us a little bit of mustard or ketchup or something put on it, and we eat them in just a minute. That'd be something we can eat. Man, it's been raining. We got a little bit wet out here, and we're still enjoying ourselves. And I tell you, it doesn't matter how wet and cold it gets. You got that grill going, it just makes you feel warm and at home. Sure does. You know, life might be hard, but when the blue smoke starts rolling, that's the smoke coming up out of there.
Now, it don't have to be chicken breasts. Chicken leg quarters are really cheap. You can get a lot of cuts of chicken at a lot cheaper than breasts. I got them because I want to do something special for the people up at Oak Ridge. But now, if we get all this chicken off and we get the ribs on, I've got some cast iron skillets that we're going to flip this thing over, load it down with a little more charcoal, and we're going to go to grilling. I'm going to get these cast iron skillets, and we're going to put shrimp in there and salmon steaks and pork chops. And I've actually got a big old piece of flat cast iron that's an emerald. I think it's 15 inches across. It's a really nice cast iron piece of steel. We're going to put that on and put some butter on it, and I might get some pork chops and stuff jumping around on that. Of course, I can put them right on the grate. We'll just have to see how it works out. I'm really excited about this thing because in a little bit, me and my partner here could get that bottom rack and raise it up, and we could do some big-time hamburgers, and we're gonna see what kind of jumping this thing will do, because just now I had my bare hand trying to get the chicken moved around and actually burnt my hand. So you know if we lay these pork chops on there, it's going to fry them up quick, and I got plenty of butter. What's up, Paula Dean? And we're going to butter these things down, and we're going to eat it up. And now 4 o'clock, I'm going to go to Oak Ridge and take all the chicken and let them eat chicken. And we're going to take all this other stuff over to my mom's house. And then we're going to make some plates with a lot of seafood and mashed potatoes and garlic potatoes. And we're going to bring in the preparation and all that to you live. I'm really closing the top right now. I just done that. Heat some of that cast iron up. But really, it got a lot hotter when I raised the lid. That thing really went to working on that chicken there. We learned. And Jim, does it get a lot hotter with the top open and kind of cool down with?
Definitely with the lid open, and especially if you have both draft doors wide open. Normally when you're cooking chicken with the lid open, you may open those two draft doors to start the fire, but once you start cooking, you're normally going to close one all the way and probably close the other one two-thirds of the way. It doesn't take that much draft to keep that fire hot. And your next time will be easier.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I mean, look, now, folks, I'm a rookie. I never even touched this thing or seen it before in real life. Now, I did see it, like, in pictures and stuff, but, I mean, to actually come in here and start working on it, this is all new guns to me, and but everything's going fantastic.
That's just a neat little cooker.
Let's get another bag of charcoal. I tell you, folks, I love high heat. I just think it cooks barbecue better. Of course, sometimes it burns the cue instead of barbecues.
Well, sometimes burn is good.
Yeah, a little char, a little crunchy is good. Absolutely. Charcoal, so I'll get the bowling on them underneath. You possibly get the bowling Now, if any of you watched when I was cutting the vegetables up, I got a lot of collard greens in the bottom of this one with a top in it, and it kind of filled the pot up substantially. When the collard greens cook down, they go almost enough, but it makes a great flavor. Really a great look, too. I just love the way them collards look when they get cooked down. And I tell you, just leave it open. Let's let the air get to that charcoal down there so we can get it rolling. But so I've got another line of ingredients that I'm going to put in the vegetables, believe it or not. And it's really going to make a nice side to it. We get these potatoes boiling. And then we got the grits that... And I tell you, now, these pots are big. You know, we're talking about 10-quart pots all the way across. So that's a lot of water and a lot of liquid to get boiling. But the way the thing burnt my hand a few minutes ago, I got a feeling it's going to get them rolling here in just a few minutes. And see, now, you know, one thing I want to point out, hopefully to everybody, you know, just something to think about is there are people out there who are making a lot heavier cooker, and I think the only advantage, now, I've been out, you know, where it looked like a little train, you know, and take three people, push it from one side to the other kind of thing. They're really unhandy to move around, and my experience, it takes a lot of charcoal and a lot of wood to get them hot. When you have that much steel, you know, you get a 2,200-pound cooker, and it's really not that big, but it looks like a train because it's so thick. I went out, and I did a barbecue contest with one that was like that, and I put three bags of charcoal in it and looked around and said 175 degrees. And, well, maybe the airflow wasn't right. No, the airflow was right. I went and bought a half a quart of wood. I paid $45 for it. That's a half a quart. That's 2 foot high by 4 foot by 4 foot. And I burnt the whole half a quart by the time the contest was done. So I think there's a give and take on that. Yep. Now, if you can get that 2,200 pounds of steel good and hot, it'll hold the heat and last a lot. But what does it take to get there? And then what does it take to maintain it? And this here, it heats up quicker. It cools off quicker because when you get done with your cook and you got to haul it home or you got to come off the catering job and move back to your business area, cooling off is pretty important, just like heating up. And, you know, you got this 2,200-pound hunk of steel, looks like a train. It's going to take a while for that thing to cool down. You get going down the road, and, you know, somebody bumps it with a car and it's that hot. God knows what might happen. And so that's some scenarios that this here remedies with, you know, quick hot, quick cool down, and efficient cook. And, I just really like it. I'm sure, you know, there's no cooker out there that is the most awesome, perfect cooker that's ever been built. But for common sense, you know, things, I mean, this thing here, it makes a lot of sense. And it's going to last you a lifetime. And boy, them sausages down there look good. I hope this thing gets hot, fry them up, because I'm going to get me a big old sub piece of bread. Now, what we need right now is some onions and green peppers and fry them up. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Hold up here. See, now we got a pan. Yeah, we got onions and green peppers right here. I just realized that again. And,
Now, Daryl, what we do a lot of times is take onions, potatoes, cut them in half, put them in the middle, and put the chicken around the outside. We cook them all at the same time, and they're normally done about the same time.
Oh, wow.
We just season up those potatoes and onions. We take nice big Florida or Georgia sweet onions. Don't even have to peel them. Just knock the ends off of them, cut them in half. Same thing with some nice big potatoes, cut them in half, season up that cut side, that wet side with a little bit of dry rub or whatever type of seasoning you like, put it in the middle, put your chicken around the outside, just flip that grate back and forth, just like you were just cooking chicken only, and first thing you know, you'll have your whole meal done at the same time.
Now, Jim, I tell you, I got an egg problem. That means I love to eat eggs. And that potato and onion thing sounded a whole lot like hash browns. And I can see doing that, cooking up about four or five eggs, you know, and eating them eggs on the side with the onions and the potatoes. Boy, that's good.
Well, you know, we've gotten a lot of ideas from our customers because with a cooker like that, you just don't want to be afraid to experiment a little bit. I think some of our best ideas have come from people that tried different ways or means or different items cooking them in that spin rack.
Now, if you're out there and you've got a great source of wood and you want to lower your electric bill, you know, this thing here, you can set it on your back porch as long as it's got a good ventilation where, you know, the air can go out and circulate very easily. And to me,
go out there and throw a few pieces of wood in it. That's the way all the people live. That's one reason these things are so efficient, because you probably got people that are using these things every day, and this is their main cooking.
Well, Daryl, you know, if you want to use that like a offset smoker, if you take and put your fire on one side and your piece of meat over on the other side, close the lid, you'd be surprised what kind of smoky flavor you can get into a piece of meat with that. I know some people think you have to burn up a half a tree to smoke a piece of meat, but that's just not the case.
Now, I went to the store the other day for no really apparent reason. I wasn't really planned out. I just looked over, and they had some Petridge Farms little sub rolls. They're not real little. I mean, they're plenty big enough to swallow up those sausages that I've got right over there. And, I swallowed them. I know I've got them in the kitchen in there. So if you look right there, I'm putting them green onions right there in the pan. And we're going to let them saute just a little bit. Now, folks, don't try this at home. This might only be for the professional. No, I'm just kidding. This is really going to be good. We got our sausages right over here. Look it up. We're starting to get a little brown on them. Put them right there in the middle. And, what do I say? The one thing that I got, this green pepper is one to get down here just a minute. Man, it's going to have a nice, nice flavor, and I got them in butter. And I don't know what it is about onions and butter. Jim, have you had any experience with onion and butter that just makes magic, though? Now, I got the light pan. Make sure you check this out right quick. I've got the light pan on the front, and I got the heavy stuff on the back because you see where the brace is. And really, the main reason I'm pointing that out to you is, you know, I don't want you to think you could just go on this top right here. This is made for flipping chicken, and I don't want you throwing your chicken into the coals or chicken, you know, throwing your pan into the coals. So always be conscious of where that brace is when you're cooking this stuff up, and any problems. Here they are. Now, one problem I have right now, I will admit to everybody, is this is not Forest Lumps charcoal. This is some cheap stuff called Kindle. So the igniting takes a little bit longer for this than it does. So this next load that we're putting in there is down and is firing up. I'm going to take these. I gotta say, I think I'm sorry that I put the top down. I think you were right. I shouldn't have done that. I won't do that again. Now, folks, if you're watching us on the Barbecue Superstars Live, we're just kind of standing back and enjoying the grill for a little bit. It's such a nice day out here.
Daryl, another nice option on that particular grill is a charcoal pull-out pan.
So that's like a drawer that actually sticks out the side
Correct.
Of the grill that pushes up tight, and then you...
Correct. You can add your charcoal without turning the grate sideways, or if you're using an optional flat rack, which you'd have to lift off to add charcoal, you can pull that charcoal pan out and just add your charcoal. Plus, I think the clean out maybe might be a little bit easier.
Now, the offset that you let me use, that 36-inch, it had one of those. And one day I got out here and I cooked briskets, Boston butts, ribs, and chicken, all four. Of course, I cooked all night, too, and I used that option. I took that,
well, that
drawer
that,
out. And,
that was not actually a charcoal pull-out pan on that little SQ36. That was more just an ash pan to remove your ashes, but to actually add charcoal or wood into that little offset, you had to open up the firebox door and add it. What I'm speaking of for this BBQ42, they have an optional pull-out door or pan, which you can slide it out, add your charcoal, push it back in without disturbing anything up top.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Okay, I'm getting the mustard and the ketchup, but I might have to get me a little Dana L. Hillis sweet peach. I don't know what's happened to me, but I have got hooked on that sweet peach that he makes, and I'm starting to put it on everything. And it's funny, every time I get in the refrigerator and I start looking around, I'm going to make this or that or get this or that. The only problem is my sweet peach might run out here in a little while because I've been using it so much. And I might get that sausage and put a little Dana Hill of sweet peach on it. Have you tried any of this sweet peach before?
Are you talking to me, Daryl?
Yeah.
Actually, no. I haven't had the privilege.
It's a little bit, got a little hot, but it's got sweet to it. It's a... But it takes you on a ride. You know, you start off with this flavor, and then a few seconds later, you kind of move into this. And then, of course, like a lot of them, at the end, you'll get a little background heat. And
well,
it's just really, really good.
Sounds like something I'd like.
Yeah. Okay, I'll put these buns over here. They're roasted pretty good now. And... Oh, What you like on yours? You want the ketchup mustard along with your onions and
a little mustard.
Just a little mustard? Okay. Oh yeah, it's getting hot now.
So the better gas has got
even
more
top up, it gets hot, of course. Yeah. The amount of airflow coming through.
Yeah.
Makes some nice grill marks, too.
The amount of airflow.
Now, for those of you watching on the television, a few minutes ago, the smoke had a lot more white in it. It was a little more billowy. But if you look at the smoke now, it's gotten a little bit clear, more clear blue, and it's going straight up quicker, isn't it? That means the heat's starting to radiate out of those charcoal. There was a restaurant in New York City, and Mike Mills went up there, and he was like a consulting guy. And they were there working with the cookers and cooking food, and he was like, helping them with flavor profiles so they can get, you know, a lot of business in their thing. And looked up and he said, now, if your cooker's not right until it starts billowing that blue smoke, clear smoke, he said, that's when you're ready to cook barbecue. He said, blue smoke, huh? He said, yeah. He said, well, that's what we're going to call the restaurant. Yeah, and I went out there and the restaurant's called Blue Smoke. It's on 32nd Street, New York City. Yeah, that's one thing in all the traveling I've done. I've really met a lot of great guys and heard a lot of great stories about barbecue and different things that's happened along the way. You know, Jim, you're part of that now. I met you out there, and
Well, Daryl, I certainly appreciate all your kind words. You're definitely out there doing a different job than what I've seen, and especially for the local people, and I think we appreciate it.
Man, you can hear that little grease dripping off the chicken and the sausage here, dropping down on them hot charcoal. This thing's starting to roll. You know, it's funny, when the grill gets hot, it seems like the whole world starts moving a little bit. It's a little bit of excitement going on or something. And it smells good. These sausages are firming up quick. Man, I almost get a little bit too high. I might need to put the top down and smoke it out just a little bit. Oh, it's going to cook that stuff up now. You know, one thing about every cooker I've ever cooked on, you got to get a certain amount of fire. That's just like with clearing land. Go out, stack up some wood, you know, try to get the fire going. Couldn't get it going. Then you finally got it going, and you piled on, you know, half acre of trees on it, and you got that fire rolling like that, you couldn't get it stopped. Here, open that thing up for a little bit. Wait. Okay,
might be able to get it right here.
Why not? How many degrees does it say?
Four.
Yeah, open it up. got it going too good. Let's let it damper down a little bit. What's the temperature say?
It dropped about 50. Well, 375. It's dropping.
Okay. Oh, we didn't put too much water in it. Shoot, let's set it sit there for a minute. We pull it open, those sausages would be ready to go.
Know what they're doing.
They do.
I've watched that before about the grouse and everything.
Yeah. They
know what they're doing.
I'll tell you what else, they get a lantern that they, use for light every night and do a lot of stuff with that. A whole lot of little tricky things, the stove they're cooking on for in their kitchens. Move just a little bit of this and a little bit of that and regulate the temperature. Them guys get almost as good, They can bring it up 25 or drop it 50. And that's just because, hey, that's what they live with every day. That's what they're cooking on. That's their whole... Kind of start and finish.
I think a time or two with that BBQ 42, and you'll just be an expert with it.
And she's hanging right on 300, so those onions and stuff ought to be roasting up good now. I just hope I don't burn the chicken. I got so much stuff laid on it, I need to jerk the chicken off now. Chicken was close. Well, get that pan and now when I get this chicken off, folks, we're gonna go to town on grilling. Cook these ribs and onions look good in there. We went down to Save-A-Lot, Jim, and got some potatoes. I was going to buy. They had, the produce guy box up some, so they were pretty big. He looked over, there was a bag of potatoes sitting there. I bet you some of the potatoes weigh 2 pounds apiece. There's the biggest potatoes in that potato bag I ever seen, so we grabbed that instead of getting the boxed up stuff, and it was cheaper. And I think I peeled 6 potatoes. And that 10-quart container, 10-quart pot there is slammed full of potatoes. I'm sure there's a whole lot less peeling this stuff.
Daryl, just to let you know, there is another little option that's pretty nice with that cooker. We have a big griddle plate that takes the place of the spin rack. You have to bring your charcoal pan up to the top notch and get your heat up closer, but there is a big griddle plate available.
Oh, wow, I'd love to have one of those. You know why? You get up in the morning around
7, 8 o'clock on Saturday, put the griddle on and cook breakfast for everybody, sausage and pancakes.
Now, the one thing you do want to remember when you go to bring that charcoal pan up, take your spin rack off. Of course, you're going to need a pair of hot gloves. Reach down there and grab those handles on that charcoal pan. Lift it upward and cock it just a little bit to make it clear the ears on one side, and then bring it on up and then flip it back and set it down. And if you do it right, you won't spill any charcoal out of the pan.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Ooh, that's hot. Wait a minute. Oh, I tell you what, that's some good heat. That's some great steak cooking right there. Man, let's get these pots rolling all over in here. We'll use this load of charcoal up now. We'll come back and we're setting it down another inch and a half, and that, I tell you, the heat's really rolling now. We're gonna get to frying and cooking some stuff here. Yeah. I don't know why, but my vision of this thing was, well, I had cooking. Yeah, that chicken's in there pulling the juices back in. I don't know how hot that pan is. I'd almost like to move it up. That pan is hot. I don't want to get bugged. You put that on. I don't know if we can cook already. It's smoking. Let's run this load of charcoal out. Let the pot keep the heat in it. We'll put them ribs on, clamp it down, and come back. We'll cook the ribs and work these pots, and then I'll get in here and get these shrimp. Now, folks, I got shrimp, salmon, pork chops. I think you put all that on, too. And shoot, our frying pan's starting to boil over here. Put these onions. We're going to eat it some sausage. Now, it is sort of a risk with all this because one thing about me, and I'll let everybody know, if I eat too much, I start getting lazy and sleepy and can't get myself together. That's the only risk about eating this big old sausage up here is because I'm going to get lazy. Let that pot start moving around and boiling. Folks, we're going to do a little Bobby Flay on this thing. It's going to get rolling in here. I'm going to have stuff bouncing and jumping and popping all over this thing. Mm-hmm. Well, if the rain has subsided, I'm going to move the kitchen back out a little bit. I'm going to go back. That seems to be a little bit more. Better for his IQ. Well, Phil is right here. If you want to call in, the number is 347-202-0263. We've got the Tim Plank, the Spain field that I know, on the show right here. We've got access to him. If you call 347-202-0263, you can talk to him for just a few minutes and ask him some questions about your you want to talk about it? I don't know, it might need pictures for me over there. Man, I'm soft, you're losing juice fast.
Yeah.
I'll put it in the pot.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here's your plate. Yeah, I'll use that time. We'll use that bottle. Uh-oh. My turn. Who knows? Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. I'm going to let them onion and green peppers continue to cook, but I'm afraid I might have to eat this right quick. Call us and let us know what you would like to put on your sausage. I'm going mustard on mine. Now, folks, I got a very heavy dog. He's huge. She sees me over here eating, and she's over there playing sad eyes, acting like she's going to choke up. Just a slight word to the wise. Plastic and these type grills don't get along. Now, steel and wood get along with these grills. Now, I'm using my expensive Petco out here because I think these grills definitely worth it. Try to get a wood handle. That was good one.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing better going outside, getting on a big meadow creek. This right here is grits, folks. Ooh, gee, that's hot. I think throwing some major BTUs out there right now. Sneak peek.
This is all in this. Oh, good. Look how far it went down.
We essentially had it sitting on hay. Ooh, man, this is good.
I got two of the sausages that I just ate in here. And got all these.
Yeah, I might get a good of this.
All these vegetables in this pot are raw, so the carrots are real hard. And now that it's went down a little bit, I'm going to put the lid back on it. And
I got some cans of stuff I want to put in it.
This is our vegetable side dish. So we got our vegetable side dish, our grits, and our mashed potatoes that I'm going to put. Now,
I don't know how you're feeling, but we've got another sausage just laying right there. You want? Well, if I eat it,
yeah. Start feeling.
Well, what I'm going to do is go in there and sit down, and I can't. I've got a lot of cooking here to do.
They got to finish playing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes you feel bad. Yeah.
Okay, what I'm going to put in these vegetables now is a diced tomatoes with basil, garlic, and oregano. This will be a huge source of spice.
Okay, what I'm going to put in these vegetables now is a diced tomatoes with basil, garlic,
gonna make it taste real good. Man, I can't wait to make my mom a plate. Her head's gonna start sweating. Give me the glass on. What in the world did you put in that? I'm going to tell a trade secret, Ma. I can't tell you.
There's one. That stuff is pretty, it's pretty spicy. It's
well, if you're having trouble opening cans. Oh, wait. Smiley. Put her in that back gate and lock it that way. Oh, Lord. Man, that's a nice looking F1. Must be mine. Whoa. No, I'm just kidding.
She's a good lady. A lot of times you have to travel over the cans if you'll take the label off of it. It'll ease up. Now, I got to give my wife credit now. My wife's the one who figured that out, not me. I know she'd come up here and get on my head if I didn't. Hey, Arnie, I was just telling them on the radio that if you got a can of food and you take the label off of it, it makes the can opener work better. Who came up with that? You did. Now, honey, now look right there in that bowl. That sausage has got your name on it. If you look at a hot dog bun, I made that for you. I told him he could eat it, but he said that's too good. He's gonna, you know, he'll get sleepy. Plus, we got all this food to eat in a little while. Get a hot dog on, I'll make it for you right quick. Folks, now the last sausage is about to disappear, and I ain't sure why. I must do with it, but look at all them grids. I sure hope the whole thing gets good. I put 10 cups of water in. 2 cups of this. 5 cups of that. I think that's right. Yeah, and you know the right answer to that. Call in 347-202-0263. Let me know. Right, it's shrimp and grits. I tried to call it seafood grits earlier. Shrimp and grits. Something they used to eat in the low country, the beaches.
Oh, yeah.
Shrimp. I mean, grits is a cheaper thing to buy. And put some shrimp and some seasoning in it, and it makes it good.
You can have yourself in the low country.
I'm leaving the juice in these cans go right into the vegetable mixer because I know it's going to start drying out here in a little bit. It'll stop off and get the boiling good. But at the end of the process of cooking these vegetables, I want them to be pretty solid. I want a whole lot of water or, you know, liquid in the pot. So get you a good spoonful and put it right on the side of your plate. Yay, my bag's so long. I love my dog there.
I'm about to get my hands so it's not overcooking. It is hard. Macaroni. Good Lord, I'd like to get a piece of bread and put that. Yeah, put some mustard on that.
Okay. I had lids on everything and started boiling faster. Those of you out there know anything about Spartanburg or the upstate of South Carolina, there's a place called the Beacon. There's a black guy out there. What's his name? The one that always hollers when you walk in. JC, yeah. You walk in. What you want? Beacon Burger plenty. Beacon Burger plenty. And he'd say, I said, what about that Beacon Burger Supreme? It's like the biggest one they got. It's real good. It'll keep you up all night.
Probably
50
years. He's old.
Yeah, he is. He's still on there, isn't he?
I say he's talking about it.
The politicians have figured out if you want to carry Spartanburg, you got to go up there and meet it. Yeah. I tell you why a lot of the old hardliners in Spartanburg and all that, you know, they've known JC.
Old man John. Man.
Yeah, John White. John B. White. James Reaver Road's name is John B. White Boulevard. Oh, he did. His son's a big lawyer there.
Yeah.
Folks, I ain't gonna lie to you. That grill's red hot. I'm gonna tell you something now. That thing is red hot. I'd love to look cool and say this is an old piece of steel from out of this steel barn friend I got, but it's not. It's an Emerald of Gossy. I bought it from Bed Bath & Beyond. But it's good. Put that on there. Now we could. One more thing of charcoal, pretty much, if everything is going to be here. Boy, that thing got hot pretty quick, didn't it? The only thing I'm really having trouble with is getting this one right here boiling, but it's Yeah, it's a gallon of water.
That's a lot of water.
The grits are doing fine. And the vegetables are doing fine. Look at here, I put this on here, it's just wet.
Over there.
Yeah. I don't know what time it is. If you would, look at there. Now I'm going direct grill on this thing right here. These pork chops. And,
oh, here you go. I just want to get a hold of these. I'll tell you, I'm going to put the pork chops.
These are going to take long to cook on here. And the potatoes, they might go to boiling. Now, folks, these pots are full because I need to cook a lot of food because I'm going to feed a lot of people today. I'm going to try to get everybody over here. Folks, we still got a lot of cooking to go. Don't go nowhere. I'm going to cook a little cake. And we got salmon and shrimp that we're going to put in here along with some of this other food. Smoke it like it wants to start boiling. Since we got a little time before we're going to be able to get done, rather than overcook these grits. I'll get this pot. There you go. Don't fall, please. Ooh, look at that big old pork chop. Ain't no bone in it either. Not that one. Oh, that's a nice one.
That pot I got so hot, it's boiling. The pot itself is boiling it a little bit. I was going.
Can you hear me okay? I'm still on the phone with this live TV television thing. What time did you think that you would want to get out of there? 4 o'clock? No, it's almost 3 now. Yeah. All right, why don't I call you back in a half an hour?
No, I didn't know.
Well, you were throwing up tomorrow anyway, right? Yeah. Huh? Oh, wait, I got to go to Oak Ridge 1. I got it. Yeah, look at this.
Yeah.
Mom's house. Okay. Damn it, Steve. Good God, the guy, and he cooked it okra for a little while.
No, that was
Jill's dad. Oh, that was Jill's dad. Okay. He's in Spartanburg? Oh, I thought Tim was from California.
No,
oh, okay.
Okay. But he stayed at the hospital all night, and this morning he was still there.
Good Lord.
But think about everything he's gone.
Okay. Okay. I tell you, man, doggone sausage will stop you.
You're laying down there.
Yeah, she ate a sausage. She told her laying down there.
Yeah,
it'll do it.
Yeah, make me a little late. Two of them. That was 5 legs straight out of your
house. If I was down, it's pretty wrong, but... I'm going to spin it with a sandwich, it ain't going to take long to cook the one. I went to the store today, no lie. I really didn't intend to buy that much. But I got in there and I got to buying stuff. Having fun. It was good. Got to the register and that woman said $303. I was like, what? She meant $53? No, she said $303. So needless to say, I'm gonna cook a feast. Money is cook up a little more. I put everything in there raw. I didn't pre-cook anything.
Folks, I'm cooking all this on this Meadow Creek.
These shrimp will get a little shriveled up, but I got two more bags, so I'll get rid of the further.
way you do it on the TV show. You film it, then edit it.
Yeah, it is put it on YouTube. But this here is it's on another thing too. I've got two choices. This here will be up permanently forever in the place just like it is.
Daryl, my friend, I'm going to have to leave you.
Yeah. Man, they're going to cook it for 8 years to me. I'll sit too close to it a little bit. Yeah. Those shrimp there draw pretty good before they get served, but. I wonder what time it is.
Yeah, our radio shows went over to 2 hour limit, so I quit going. It's recording right now, but it's not that. Now it'll play on the replay, but people can't hear it now. Okay, folks, as far as the radio show goes, I'm going to end it off. I got salmon cooking, pork chops cooking. I've got shrimp and grits that's done. I got mashed potatoes that are cooking. And I got the pork chops that are on the grill. This Meadow Creek is really doing a good job. It doesn't matter what I'm putting on here. It's firing it up good. Pork chops looking good in here. About an hour. Man, I tell you, them salmon are really cooking right along there. Okay, that's boiling good. Big thing is we gotta get these potatoes boiling. I hope they are. But I'm not stealing the boil. Let's just put straight up water in it, isn't it? Come on, make a fool out of me now. Before I say it smells good. It's funny, but there are no hot and cold spots. There's only where you distribute the charcoal on here. It's hot where you got the charcoal at. Okay. Checking it for turnover.
How long does it take to cook his ribs? About an hour?
Yeah, an hour.
About 2.5-3 bags of charcoal?
Yeah.
Done a lot of cooking.
Yeah, we have. Tell you what, I'll jerk this stuff off, put the three racks of ribs on, leave the pork chops where they're at, clamp it, and just put another bag of charcoal on it, and then I'll come back and see if I can get this water boiling. Then I'm going to mix up this cake right quick, and we'll try to bake the cake same time we're...
You gonna bake the cake on here?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yep. We can get this thing rolling up the temperature a little bit. I'll tell you what. Let's not worry about them ribs, and I'll tell you why. I need to take the membrane off the back and do some work on them. And, I'll put them tomorrow or something. I think we'll have enough to eat today. For Mom and... Okay, give me another bag to put in. Anyway, I'm talking in terms of whole bags.
Yeah. Okay, do you want it?
It's just the same way as before.
The same way?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's pretty hot in there.
Whole goal now is to get the water boiling and cook this cake. There it is.
Daryl, I don't know if you can hear me or not, but I'm going to have to sign off.
I got a mess on the table because of the black pots. We'll get a rag and I'll wipe that off a little bit, and then I'll make a cake. We'll
Is this good?
Yeah. We cook a lot of food, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
The family's going to come over here.
I'm going to make a cake.
Real quick. Okay, we've got a new load of charcoal in, so we're going to try to collect that heat.
What kind of vines you got up there?
What kind of what now? Great. That's a grapevine.
Great.
And then that mother in the corner is ivy.
Ivy, yeah.
And then, cake mix, three eggs.
Did pretty good?
Yeah. Yep. Except for one problem. Ignore this. Weeds is getting all over.
Yeah.
And I put some weed killer down.
Yeah,
yeah. But there's some leaves coming out. Okay.
Give me something to do, you know. I really appreciate what you've done today.
Whipping cream. That's fun, man.
I've learned a lot.
We out here cooking bits.
I've learned a lot. You know what? I never done it.
That's heavy cream.
Just watching you, you know. Amazing, man. I've learned a lot.
That's a fella, isn't it?
Yeah, I've cooked out on grills and cooked the hash and stuff. This is way beyond that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Big Papa's Battle at Barbecue Junction, that's the only reason I know about cooking cakes on a grill.
You tell me they have big barbecue sauce on the upside down cheesecake.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right, everything now, though. Yep. Pecan. Oh, okay. I was worried about what I'm doing. I got my batter kind of thick, so.
When it cooks up, it won't cook it. Take it long. Get moisture out of there.
Like
go down the road. I need what? Scuffy dimes, muscadines, but scuffy dimes are good too. But I love them scuffy dimes. Scuffy dimes?
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm going to get fine. I'm actually going to open this bottle of pan. Put it on here. I should have put it. Put it on that rack.
That's about $1,000 there, that
Oh, yeah, and there's a bad loss.
How long that's going to last.
Oh, forever.
Yeah.
So we're going to put about half of it down in the bottom.
The Amish got the right ideas on things, on the heaters and everything.
Yeah.
They know, you know.
They live it every day.
They live it every day. You're right. You know,
yeah, I think that has something to do with it. And let's see. My mom had a cousin. I'm gonna tell him the honest a little bit. She had 22 kids.
22 kids.
And one went out with plowing, and they got plowed under.
Really?
And my mom was so shocked because she thought the family would just cry and wail and, you know, which they weren't completely oblivious to.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like, well, no big deal.
22. They ain't going to believe that. Got to take a roll call. Make sure everybody's...
Yeah, yeah, man, there's so many of them, so I can't even keep them.
Yeah, you know, they had big time news. Yeah, I believe they had the big time news like that, and like the Russians. You know, there's a lot of
people
all over the world like that. Agriculture.
Man, when you're in agriculture, you need as many hands as you get.
Yeah, that's, you know, back in the old days, you know, you seen a lot of whiteies, you know, big time news in that point of view. And then always has been in the box. Oh,
yeah,
they have
yeah.
So many.
Yeah, and you know what? I think there's a certain amount of strength in that, too.
Yeah, it might be.
Now, putting these apples in the middle of the cake, a little hide me in the middle there.
What kind of cake you got in there?
It's a yellow cake.
Yeah, okay.
Regular yellow. But I got almonds in it. Now I'm putting that little hide me in the middle. Now I'm gonna put some on top. So really, like the whole idea is, you can't really see the apples, and when you bite into it, it surprises you. And I was at a contest. I was at a contest. And this girl done that, and I'll never forget it. It was orange cake. And I reached and grabbed that cake and bit down on it. And you know what? It was cooked in so good, I couldn't even taste that it was apples. I didn't know what it was. But it was like papaya. Oh, God. I was like, I don't know what that is. But hell yeah.
Then you go to your little timeout in
Vegas.
Man, yeah. You go into
the casinos? Yeah, well, we stayed one twice.
Which one?
MGM Grand and then Mandalay Bay.
Mandalay Bay?
Yeah.
I like to go to Mandalay Bay. I haven't been out there since they had that. I haven't been out there since the 70s. But
the MGM.
It's been a while.
The MGM and Mandalay, and I think Area. Whatever.
Yeah.
They're all the same people.
Yeah. From Rich Monsters.
Oh, wow.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about God knows who owns that.
Yeah. That's how they built that place out there. I don't want to know who owns it. But, well, Bob started Buckets of Sleeple. He's the reason behind it.
You know, that man made it top 50 people in the 20th century.
That thing of it?
Sure do.
Oh, is that in some way giving approval to what the mom does? Time magazine. Hey, they're not Dolly Watt.
Huh?
We got the Kennedy.
And how much they were love, you know? John Campbell?
Yeah, they shipped in liquor and ships.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody knows.
Joe just said he was us. He was one of back on when he called back then.
Speakeasy.
Back when they.
Oh, yeah, Prohibition.
Prohibition, yeah. They shipped some other ships. So they made their money at.
Yeah, that's how they got so rich.
Yeah.
I kind of pride myself on being a law-abiding citizen.
That's the best way to do it.
It is.
You have to be broke, law-abiding citizen, be a crook.
Yeah,
you know
that's,
I mean?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There it is. All that money, it ain't no good. I mean, it's nice to have, but
we watched
it ain't real good with that kind of money.
We watched a movie last night with black guys in a lot of action movies. Kind of a tall guy. You know, Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel Jackson.
Yeah. And he was in the mob. And he was a hitman. He don't think he that because he kind of put them cakes down in the east and it's all over. Get 25 years in prison because he got mixed up in some crime, ended up killing somebody, and got out. Of course, they came wanting to do more because he's good at it. And what happened in the end? They were all dead. All, you know,
yeah.
Got their heads blown off.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little bit like reality, though.
Oh, it is reality.
Yeah. Yeah, I took that off the top and it's starting to smoke. I think it must start burning.
Hey, all right, guys. Get that going. It take water to get up to 180 the ball. 212.
I don't know what's the hell was
over here.
These things are cooking good. I'm really about done. He's starting to cook. These cakes are cooking. But, I'd rather close it so it's all the way around so the top gets heat too good. This thing will crank up here in a second. This circle gets burned good. Set it across the back. Yeah, here we go. They're already.
Well,
Well, eat just a little bit. Tell me what you think it needs.
I hope you say nothing. Probably should check. But if you say,
I'll put it in there.
You know what they call it, child people, don't?
What's that?
Peaches.
Peaches, yeah.
Yeah.
All these fish are right.
Yeah, fish are right. Oh, yeah. You got pretty good business, Joe. The guy.
Yeah.
That's 425 and
crank it up. Let me open it up and see what it does. I don't want to burn the cakes.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, when I open it up, we'll let air to it. I think it starts on fire.
Hey, fire in there.
Okay, come on, bring the water and let's. I'll lift it up and see what we got. Wait, don't do it again.
Oh, no, it ain't that bad.
Ain't bad?
Yeah. Ain't that much fire to it.
Man, 425 degrees. That thing ought to boil that water.
Good job.
You'd
think it would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That water ought to be hyperboiled.
You know what? That was cast iron and that thing was the iron I like that cooker. That's a good cooker. Yeah. Well, what you do?
I've always been, you know, thinking an offset is the way to go with this style of cooker, but I'm sitting right there, this cooker just like an offset, and it's a direct grill.
Yeah.
4 or 6 hours. 4 or 6 hours. No, it might not. I don't know. He's coming right at home. Maybe 4 hours. He put a lot of food on that girl today.
Chick along, down a lot.
Yeah.
People over there,
they
enjoy it.
They enjoy that barbecue.
Yeah. I tell you what,
those tanks, yeah, called
out.
Get that barbecue back up there. I'm giving
them
a million
pigs. Boy, he's a good one.
He
really
is.
Yeah, he really is, man.
He says, man, I'm the barbecue.
Yeah.
You
get that topic one time, man. Let's go on a school trip, you know?
Mm-hmm. He's a good guy, man. Hey, how long
have you been here? He said, I've been here 12 years on vacation.
So,
yeah. I think he had a bad nervous breakdown or something. Bad. He's not